Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning I want you to find 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to start there. I got some other scriptures that we'll probably look at, but we will begin there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to talk to you this morning about, well, the title is this, Four Things That You Can Do. Four things that you can do. And what we're going to talk about is four things that you can do to bless your country. I was alive in 61. I wasn't old enough to hear, to pay any attention to this. I could hear it, but not know what was being said. But I was a young one in 1961 when President Kennedy, in his inauguration, made this statement: "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." And I thought that is totally flipped today. Now it's ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what your country can do for you. But I want to talk to you about four things you can do for your country. Hallelujah. Is anybody glad you live in the U.S.? Yeah. And you understand there's other people from other countries and they love their country, and they should. And they should feel good about it. But I do happen to know that God has done some marvelous things for this nation. Over the last 250 years, He has blessed us. And, you know, people can say, well, we did it ourselves. Well, that's what the Bible said don't do. Don't take the credit to yourself. And it's like we heard a minister say one time, he was a Bible school teacher at the time, and he said he got to wondering how much of what he was doing was him and how much was God's grace. Wasn't that what it was? Something like that. And so he asked the Lord, didn't he pray and ask the Lord to lift your grace? Or what did he say? He wanted the Lord to show him how much was God and how much was His grace, because he was teaching a bunch of times every week. I mean, double digit numbers and, you know, doing different things. And he said, for 3 days after that, he said, I couldn't even tell you my name. I'd had to get my license out to tell you my name. He said, because for 3 days, I couldn't hardly do anything. He learned that it was God's grace that was doing it. And it's God's grace that we're blessed as a nation, and don't think it's our intelligence. If we've got any intelligence, we got it from Him. Amen. So I want to talk to you, and I want to talk about four things that we can do to bless our nation. Is anybody interested in this, or am I the only one really cares about? All right, good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, because I really care about our country. Because, you know, I mean, yeah, before I was saved, I didn't think anything about it. But after I got saved, and then I started, getting friends that were from other countries, and some from socialist and communist countries, and saw what they had to go and heard what they had to go through, and then going to some of my friends' countries where they're at, and saw the living conditions and the things that they had to do. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, it made me grateful. It made me grateful. It made me grateful for just some simple things that we have here in America, like air conditioning. Isn't that great to have it, air conditioning? It's been pretty hot, hasn't it? I told Pastor Debbie the other day, I was talking with her and Brother Greg, I said, did you know that it's so hot that the farmers are now feeding their chickens crushed ice? So they don't lay hard-boiled eggs. But I'm glad I have air conditioning. I've been in countries where we didn't have air conditioning. I remember laying in the hotel room, getting ready for the service, and laying on the bed in the afternoon, you know, laying before the Lord. You know, praying and sleeping. And no air conditioning, you know, and all that. But, of course, we can live without that, but it's a blessing. Amen. I always say I'm thankful for garage door openers. I remember the days you were the garage door openers. I remember the day I was the remote for the TV for Dad. I told Phyllis, I said, you know, so it's funny how things change, because I can remember Dad used to watch Gunsmoke. I think it came on Monday nights or something like that. on CBS, and I would think, why does he have to watch this show? You know, we as kids, we wanted to watch another show, but, you know, Dad got to choose. Dad was Dad, and we were kids, and he never let us forget it. And so he watched Gunsmoke. I said, now I watch Gunsmoke. I don't know if that's good or bad, but anyway. Now, go with me here to Thessalonians, because I want to talk about this now. Four things we can do to bless our nation. And that one of them I've already been talking about, but I want to spend a little bit of time on it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Yeah. Did y'all get that? Yeah. It's the will of God that we give thanks in everything. Now, not for everything, but in everything. We give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning or for you. So God's will is for us to be thankful. And one thing we should be thankful for is that we live in a country where we have freedoms. You know, we don't have a fence to keep us in. We're not trying to keep people in. You can get out if you want to get out. You know, the Berlin Wall was built to keep people in. Pastor Inghoff, who was a guard for a little bit at the Berlin Wall in the Communist Army, he talked to me extensively about that, and he said the reason they built the wall, Pastor Mark, is because our educated people, nurses and doctors and so forth, were leaving East Germany going because of communism and going over into West Germany, so they didn't want them leaving, so they built a wall to keep them in. They didn't build a wall to keep people out because nobody wanted in. They wanted out. Yeah. And I think, you know, thank God, you can go, I can go and live in the state I want to live to here in America. If I want to move to, you know, Alaska, I can move to Alaska. If I want to move to Kentucky, I can move to Kentucky. Amen. If I want to move to Illinois, Ohio, wherever I want to move to, Alabama, I've got the freedom to do it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I want to leave the country, I can leave the country. Amen. Because of freedom. And I'm just thankful. Amen. I'm thankful. And one thing, thanks. And what I see so much, and this is prophesied in the Bible. Listen, the Bible tells us, Paul said in the last days, there would be perilous times. And he began to talk about what would happen. And one of the things he said would happen was men would be unthankful. That would be a sign. And Paul warned us in Romans chapter 1. He said one of the signs of a downfall of a society is they were not thankful. And so when we lose our thanksgiving to God, it is a sign we're in trouble. Amen. So, you don't mind if I talk a little straight today. I'm a little fed up with all the belly aching going on in the news media about our country. Go try to be a reporter or whatever in North Korea and see how that works. Go try that in some other countries and see what happens. Some places you mysteriously disappear. We don't know what happened to you. So, I've told this before to Phyllis, and I'm talking straight this morning. This is not a nice, feel-good message this morning. This isn't friends, God loves you. This is straight from the hip. Is that okay? And I've talked to Phyllis before. A lot of these politicians that gripe about our country have never been out of the country unless they went to vacation spots in other countries. Never been to the actual country itself. See, I'm thinking about a country I go to, preach to it in Central America. A lot of Americans go to a place that's famous for scuba diving. It's a really nice resort area, a place, but they've never been in the cities. They've never been in the poverty. They've never been in the oppression. They've never seen all of that. And they don't know that. And they talk, you know, they talk about, well, we've been over there. No, you haven't. You've just been to the highlights, the nice spots. You haven't seen how the people really live day to day, the average Joe and Sally, how they live. They don't live like we do here in America. I've been there where they get up every day. This is just straight to you now, straight from the hip. I've been there where they get up every day. They're not getting up every day, you know, to check out their cell phones and, you know, check out their social media accounts. They're getting up every day just to try to find something to eat to live. They're scrapping every day. And they're just trying to make it. They're just trying to survive. And then we come over there and they think we're just so rich we can fix everything. I mean, we had one little guy, and right now I could do it, but at the time I was there, I couldn't do it. It was many years ago, when I was still struggling financially, and all he was wanting from Phyllis and I was a couple $1,000s to build a house for him and his mom. Now, today I could have helped him. Then I just didn't have it. But all he needed was $2,000, and he could build a nice home for him and his mom. And little guy helped us with sound, the sound in the meetings and stuff like that. And then we come back home and we live in this lap of luxury. We're blessed. So we should have a thankful heart. Right? And you know what? Let me tell you something about a thankful heart. A thankful heart doesn't focus on what it doesn't have. It focuses on what it does have. Because there's always going to be something else you could have. I mean, that you could always find. How many know, if you're looking for something wrong with a church, you'll find it. If you're looking for something wrong in your marriage, you'll find it. I'll go you one better than that. If you're looking for something wrong at the restaurant, you will find it. I have gone out to eat with people that, and nobody here, but I have gone out to eat with people before that have embarrassed me because they are so picky. It's got to be perfect. I said, you know, I ordered quail one time at a restaurant and they brought me fish. I looked at it and I thought, that doesn't look like it flies. So the waitress, she was having a hard day. And so she comes over and I said, what is this anyway? Oh, that's fish. You wanted something that flies. Oh, she was so apologetic. I said, forget it. Hey, I'll eat it. No big deal. Amen. No big deal. Now, if I hadn't liked it, I'd let her got me something different. But I'll eat fish. Yeah, and so you know, we have to watch it. We don't become people that are just looking for things wrong. Help me out, people. We got to be, we're not just looking for things. Of course there's things wrong with America. Of course there has been. There always has been. There always will be. But we ought to be thankful for what the good things we have and the blessings we have. Amen. Right? I mean, come on now. I just remember one time when I was really green on the mission field. I was green as green could be. And green means you don't know anything yet. You're about to learn some experiences. And I was real green, and we did submit some meetings with the missionary there. And he said, now afterward, we're going to have a little R&R, rest and relaxation. And I thought, boy, that's going to be great. Praise God. Been here. We're doing these meetings. We're working hard. But the last 3 days or whatever, we're going to have some rest and relaxation. I have pictures of, you know, because I'm staying in a place that isn't that great, you know. It's not that nice. And I'm thinking, man, we are going to go. We're going to stay at a Holiday Inn on the ocean, and we're going to have some great times. And so we get in the vehicle, and he starts driving, and we're driving for hours. And as we're going by, I'm seeing homes that they don't even have doors and windows. They're not there. They're out there washing their clothes in the stream. I'm thinking, how stupid was I? There's no Holiday Inns here. This is a missionary's R&R. And, you know, it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. So we stayed in, I don't even remember where we stayed at that time, hon, because you were with me on that one. I don't remember where we stayed at, but I can guarantee you it wasn't the Holiday Inn. It wasn't even Motel 6. You know, they leave the light on for you. And you get there, you say, turn the light off, please. Camp Granada, my wife said. And yeah, it wasn't good. But because they just don't have it. You know what I'm saying? They don't have it. But so I got back and I'm thankful for my country. And it, every time I go on the mission field and I come back, I think, man, it's so good here. I'm never leaving again. But you got to obey God. How many know that? It isn't about your comfort, right? It isn't about your pleasures, but I am thankful for it. Amen? All right, now, number two, I want to talk about this. We got to move on here. The first thing you can do is be thankful. Just be thankful. Don't complain about everything. Be thankful. Amen? You know, sometimes we all got to watch this. Sometimes I complain about the way people drive. Really? You know, and I'll even ask Phyllis sometimes, what is wrong with those people? And I get the same answer every time. I don't know. I don't know them. But, you know, for one thing, out in front of the road and out in front of the church, if you take that road to go to Green River, how many know you don't turn left? You don't turn left. If you want to go left, go down here, go up there, and go that way and get the light. And you'll get people, well, you're wanting to go that way and head up North Green River, and they're trying to turn left. And I'm working on it. I'm working about not talking to them about it. It's like, you don't do that. What is wrong with you? But let me just tell you something. You get into some of these countries and you get in their traffic and you will thank God for left turners on Green River Road. One time I'm traveling and the missionary, there's other people in the van, so it isn't just me and her, but she's driving, the missionary's wife is driving. I don't know where he was at, but there's some other of us in the van with her, and we're coming to intersections, and she's just plowing right through them. There are no signs. There's no yield sign. There's no stop sign. There's nothing. And I'm saying, well, how do you know who goes? She says, whoever's got the most guts, which was her. It was always her. But anyway, yeah, one of my friends pled the blood over everything and said, hey, you don't quit driving like this. My people aren't coming any longer. But anyway, you get to where, you know, you when you come back and you thank God for some things that maybe you used to not thank God for. You thank God we got stoplights now. I mean, you forget after a week of it, but anyway, you're thankful for a week. Anyway, how many know we should just remain thankful for our country? Number two, go with me. We're close. Go here to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk about this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The second thing that we should do for our nation is pray for it. Pray for it. Let me tell you something here. Now, you know, the devil hates everybody. We know that. Especially if you're in the image of God, you know, if you've been born again. But he particularly hates two countries really big time. He hates Israel. And Revelation tells us why, because Israel brought forth the man-child, which was to rule all nations. And this is Revelation 12, persecutes Israel because Israel brought forth the Messiah. You see, the strife, the division, the things that we see in our world, it's a battle of dark versus light, good versus evil. It's a spiritual battle. See, in our country, it used to be like a battle of ideals, but it has turned into a spiritual warfare where we can't compromise God's word to make you happy. I'm sorry, we can't do that. We have to stick with what God's... It's either choose God or choose the devil. And that's where we're at today. And so it's become a warfare of spiritual ideas because the devil's not hiding it any longer because his time is short and he's come down with great wrath. And he hates Israel because they brought forth the man-child, the Messiah, which destroyed him, which crushed his head. But he also hates the United States of America because about 90% of all missions comes out of our country. And if he could stop that, if he can hinder that, naturally he's going to try to do that. And the way he tries to do it is by bad government. That is why you get in communist countries and so forth, they always put their foot on the Christians. And they may not even know exactly why, but the devil knows why, because that's the threat. Because we sang the song, and Jill talked about it this morning. Christ gave us freedom. We have freedom as in the natural, but our greatest freedoms are our spiritual freedoms, because we couldn't have the natural freedoms without the spiritual freedoms. And so the devil knows that. That's why there's this warfare. So 90% of all missions comes out of our country. So naturally, the devil wants to hinder that. And you know, the only people that can pray for our country is us, the believers. Look what Paul said in Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks. See, givings of thanks releases grace. For be made for all men, for kings. Now notice he tells us some categories. For kings and for all that are in authority. So I mean, we're supposed to pray for our leaders, right? We're supposed to pray for our president. We don't have a king, we have a president, right? No matter who's in office, no matter whether it's our party or not, we're to pray for our president. We have a responsibility. Why? That you and I may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now here's the ultimate goal of praying for our leaders, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. The only reason why we have bad leaders is because they need to get saved. An old preacher, he's in heaven now, but years ago, he said, if you want to save America, get America saved. Get America saved. So, now, you know, when I vote for a president, I'm not looking for a pastor. I'm not looking for some Christians, I think, go overboard. They're looking, well, he cusses. Well, he smokes cigars. You know, really, I'd rather he didn't do that, but I'm more concerned, does he love our nation? And does he have some fear of God? I'll talk about that. That's coming up next. But I think it's just things that we need to understand. That if we don't pray for our country, who's going to pray for it? And we are instructed out of the New Testament and the Old Testament to pray for our country. We all know the scripture out of Chronicles. It's famous. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. God just wants his people to do it. Amen. So does that mean we spend hours and hours of intercession for America every day? No, God may anoint and call some people to do that, but we can breathe a prayer for our country every day. I do every day. Maybe it's not long, but I want God to know that I'm holding this country up before him. Amen? Now, are y'all with me this morning? Well, okay. Now I want you to go to the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 23. I want to talk about number 3. We got to get going here. 2 Samuel 23. The third thing you need to do is vote your faith. What do I mean by that? Don't vote your pocketbook. Vote your faith. What does that mean? Look, it means as people of faith, we've got certain principles and scruples that we live by, and we need to vote those. I never vote for people who are okay with murdering babies. Never. I don't care what party they're from. They're not getting my vote. I have a particular affiliation with a party, and there's been people in my party I didn't vote for because they believe that. To me, that's ground zero. If somebody's got a gun to your head and they want your billfold, the first thing to do is get the gun out of your off your head. You're more concerned about the gun than you are your billfold, right? But so many Christians, they don't get this, and we're going to help you this morning. David, now listen, David, by the Holy Spirit, gave us instruction on who should rule. In 1 Samuel 23, he said this in verse 1, "Now these be the last words of David, David the son of Jesse, the man who was raised up on high, anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit," everybody say the Spirit. All right, "the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, his word was in my tongue." Here's what the Spirit said. Did I not tell you 2 Samuel? Okay, is everybody there? All right, let's back up. Let's read it again. I want you to see this. We're all good, right? All right. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high, anointed of God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit." Say it again, the Spirit. Say it with some enthusiasm. All right. "Who said it? The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was in my tongue." Here's what the Spirit said. "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that rules over men, he must be just, and he must rule in the fear of God." Yes, amen. All right? So there's two qualifications: just and rule in the fear of God. Now, when I vote, I look for the person that's closest to that. They'll rule justly and in the fear of God. What does that mean? I'm not voting for anybody that tells me the Bible doesn't have anything to do with our country. Forget it. I'm not voting for anybody who upholds principles that are contrary to the Bible. I'm going to find somebody the closest. You understand? Too many believers vote their pocketbook. Or, listen to this now, listen. You have to understand this, that a lot of people today vote because of political tradition. My family always voted this way. It's tradition. Well, maybe some things have changed.
Right. Come on now.
The guy I quoted, I'm just going to shoot straight with, the guy I quoted, JFK, could not be a standing member of his party today. Because things have changed. So we don't, and this isn't about Republican or Democrat or whatever. This is about what God said. You understand? I've met some Republicans I wouldn't vote for. We have one kind of locally. I don't want to vote for her.
Come on. That's right.
I'm not naming her, but I just don't want to vote for her because she doesn't stand for what the Bible says on too many things. Nobody's perfect. People have problems with our president today. And he's got an ego. He does. He's got a mouth. He does. He's got a lot of things that aren't perfect. But he's not going to be my pastor. I'm looking for people that I think are closest to that description. They'll be just and they'll have some fear of God about them. Now, what is the fear of God? The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is to reverence His Word. Y'all listen to that? See, the fear of God, see, we have so many people telling us what God thinks today. I don't need people to tell me what God thinks. I need God to tell me what He thinks. I hope you understood that statement. What I meant by that was they're telling me, they think God has changed with the culture. He hasn't. God gave us a book full of His thoughts right here. All right. So when I vote, and when you vote, you could do your country a favor by voting for somebody that is close to what David said here. They're just and they rule in the fear of God. Now I'm not. This isn't a political message, but just an example of this. I just played a clip for my wife of the Secretary of State of the United States preaching the gospel. I'm telling you. I said, listen to this guy. He's preaching the gospel with more clarity, conviction, and authority than most preachers. That's the fear of God. That's the fear of God. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church, praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. I love our country. And I'm not, I'm registered to a certain party, but I'm not a party fanatic. If the party I vote for starts changing their things, well, I'm done with them. I'm sticking with God. I'm sticking with His Word. I could care less about, you know, what you call yourself. I want to know what you believe. Sometimes I wish we could get rid of those tags. Let's just find out what you believe. Amen. Now, all right. We're out of time here, but I want to give you one more thing. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 5. So I'm talking about four things you could do to bless your country. For number one, you could be thankful. Number two, you could pray for it. Number three, when it comes time to vote, vote your faith. Vote your Bible. And I know people, I've had this, people, well, are you trying to tell me that Donald Trump is a Christian? I don't know what he is. Except if you swing on him, he's swinging back. Whether you're a leader of a country or the janitor of the school. I don't know. Yeah, he's got a lot of things I'd like to see him fix. They're not going to get fixed. He is the way he is. But he has been a friend to the church. And he does talk about Jesus. And he does honor him to some extent. Is he saved? I don't know. Dr. Dobson said he was. Said he's just a carnal Christian. That's not a judgment, but obviously you can listen to him talk and say, well, you know, disciples of Christ don't do some of those things. See, I've offended some of you already because he's not my God. He's not my pastor. He's a man. He makes mistakes. Sometimes I call him out. Sorry. And he's fixed. Fix it, sir. Franklin Graham wrote him a letter. Said, you fix your cussing mouth. Thank God for that. I think it worked for a couple weeks. It was a little more mellow for 2 weeks, you know. I hope you get my point. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just simply saying, I'm not saying that our president has to be this real, it would be nice if he was this real deep spiritual person. That's not the criteria. The criteria is they got to be just in their dealings. And they're not, and I don't know that any of them are perfect at that. And two, they got to have the fear of God about them. Amen. And, you know, sometimes you just meet good old sinners that at least they got some fear of God. Even Ted Nugent. That went over a lot of people's heads, that name right there. How many are old enough to remember Ted? The Motor City Madman, all right? God, guns, you met him. God, guns, and country. I'm not sure Ted's saved, but he has a respect for God. That helps. I said that helps. Amen. All right, now, number four is this. We need to be salt and light to our nation. All right, look what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 13. He said, talking to us, he said, you are. Everybody say are. We're it, folks. We're the only hope. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its, the King James says, savor or its flavor, wherewith will it be salted? it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. In other words, if we, the church, aren't salty, if we try to fit in, the world's going to walk right all over the top of us. But if you're salty, the world doesn't walk on you. I tell young people, you talk about peer pressure, understand there's peer pressure, but here's the way you turn that. You be the pressure. You be the pressure. Pastor Chuck and I have talked about this before. He and I went to the same high school together. He was a year ahead of me in high school. And I think in his class, there was a Christian guy named, what was his name, Pastor? Ronnie Chapman. Ronnie Chapman. Was it Ronnie Chapman? Ronnie Chapman, I think so. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a number of years since he and I were there in those sacred halls. But I remember, now I ran with the rough crowd. I ran with the drug users, the fighters, the troublemakers, that kind of crowd. So I was used to rough guys. But here's some good old country, scared me the most was Lonnie. His name was Lonnie. Lonnie scared me the most because he was a salty Christian. He not only was a believer, he'd tell you about it. And if I'd see Lonnie coming down the hallway, I'd go to the other side from where he was at because he was the pressure. Y'all listen to me? Listen, I ran around with some tough guys. None of them messed with Lonnie. Maybe they tried it a time or two, but after he released some gospel on them, they backed away. Because he was the salt. He was the salt. I don't ever know what happened to him, but he was at that time the salt. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Be salt, be light. Amen? Listen to what he said. Verse 14, for you are the light of the world. The city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So God didn't give us the light to hide it. We're it. We're the light. We're the salt. How many know sometimes salt burns? How many know light can be offensive sometimes? Well, you ever been in the dark and all of a sudden you turn the light on? Man, it's offensive. But have you know, it's good for you. Salt slows corruption. Light exposes darkness. We, the church, have got to quit trying to blend in and be liked and be salt and light instead. Why is the church compromising on some of these issues that are clear in the Bible? It's because they're trying to fit in. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be called names and ridiculed. What's the problem here? That's not what we're called to be. We're not called to be liked. We're not called to fit in. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt. Amen. I'm just showing me, I would not go to a compromising church that compromises the word. So more people will come. I have a friend that's a church expert. He's an expert. God's anointed him to help fix churches. He's a church expert. He got a call from one of these churches that the pastor wanted to see the church grow, so he made it super friendly. In other words, we don't talk about sin. We don't talk about tithing. We don't talk about any of those things that'll offend people. You know, that's just the way. And his church did grow. It grew to 15,000 people. But the problem was, is he called my friend and he said, I've got a problem. Can you come and help me? Because he knew my friend had a reputation for fixing churches. He said, there's in my bathrooms at church, he said, they're selling drugs. He said, the city has to come and sweep up my parking lot after every Sunday. There's needles in there. There's all kinds of paraphernalia, illegal stuff. He said, it's in my park. He said, I've got he said, I got a lot of people coming to my church. He said, but they're the wrong people. Well, here's the problem. We want those kind of people coming to our church, but we want to give them a message that'll change them. Right? We want you to come. This is a hospital. But we want to have something to fix you when you get there. And he didn't have anything to fix them because he didn't want to make them uncomfortable. So he asked my friend, he said, would you come and help me fix this mess in my church? He said, I've got a real mess. Now my friend told him, I mean, this is maybe not popular, but here's what he told me. He said, no, I will not. He said, you fix it. He said, if I come and fix it, he said, if I did what I need to do to fix your church, half your people would leave. And then I'd get the blame for that. He said, fix it yourself. I was, get up and preach the gospel. Get up and be salt and light. Get up and preach good news. You don't have to do it in a mean spirit. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it ugly. You don't have to do it nasty. But just preach the truth. It alone will rub a lot of, you know, like they say, it'll rub the cat the wrong way. Just turn the cat around. Don't quit rubbing. Does this help anybody today? Thessalonians tells us what's withholding the Antichrist. It says he that now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Well, how many know we know what that is? I know what it is. A lot of people want to talk about what it is, but I know what it is because 1 John 4:4, talking about the Antichrist spirits, says to us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. All those Antichrist spirits. The Holy Spirit in the church is greater than the Antichrist spirit trying to take over. And until the church is gone, that Antichrist spirit can't take over. We're holding that in check. We're keeping that corruption from happening. And so, but Jesus said, if we lose our saltiness, the world will just walk on top of us. The Antichrist spirit will walk all over you if you don't. If you don't walk in a place of being salty. You and I have, and I'll close with this, you and I have grace on our lives. I love it. You know, this hit me one day. I was reading out of Genesis. And of course, I'd seen the passage several times, but it just really spoke to me that day. I was reading and it talked about the imagination. The man's heart was only evil from his youth continually. And God said it repented him that he had made man. And he said, I'm going to destroy every living thing on the earth, you know, because it repents me. I'm sorry I even made man. I mean, you never want your life so bad that God says, I'm sorry I made you. That's where people were at. But it says he said, it repented me, I made man, I'm sorry that I made him. I'm going to destroy man whom I made on earth. But then the next verse says, but Noah. That verse makes me shout. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Folks, listen, you and I, when we see Noah in heaven, I'd advise you to go thank him. Because if he hadn't found grace, we wouldn't be here. Because he lived righteously, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the whole world today is still benefiting off the grace of Noah. Amen? Every time you see the rainbow in the sky. How many know that's been hijacked? That's God's promise to Noah. Every time you see that, you can say, thank God for Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, here's what I want to say with that. You and I have grace on our life. Our grace can help our country. It's the grace of God. But we have to be salt. We have to be light. We can't back down from the truth. I'm going to balance this out because I think it's important that we do, and then we're going to receive communion. We just don't go up to people telling them everything that's wrong with them. That's a good way to get your face slapped, and mind your own business. But we live the truth. We speak the truth. We talk the truth. You ask me, you get in truth. You destroying your life, I may have to step in and tell you. I don't have to be annoying. I don't have to be mean. But I can just be flat. Here's what the Bible says. I'm not sure I'd do that if I was you. This is what the Word says. Your choice. But I wouldn't do it if I was you. We got to be the standard. Amen? So how many want to bless your nation? It's blessed us. Amen. Our founding fathers blessed us. I know people say, well, it wasn't founded as a Christian nation. Well, they weren't founding it to make you be a Christian, but you say it wasn't founded as a Christian nation on Christian principles. You need to read some things. You need to go back and read some of the inscriptions on some of the old buildings. You need to read our founding documents, you know, like the Declaration of Independence, the Paris Peace Treaty, the Constitution, our three documents that were founded on. They all mentioned the Lord. Somebody knew him. Were all of our founding fathers Christian? I don't want to debate that with you. You don't know and I don't know because you didn't live it. Well, I've got the, yeah, you got something somebody said. You weren't there and I wasn't there. But I do know all I got to do is look around. I mean, you go to the United Nations and they'll beat their plowshares into printing hooks. There's their swords into printing hooks. You know, where'd they get that? That's out of the Bible, folks, out of Isaiah. Of course, God was involved. Of course. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.